Our lesson tonight is on the role of the pastor in the life of the missionary. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number 14 through verse 18. Hebrews 13, verses 14 through 18. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Amen.
To praise him continually. So, if I was teaching a room full of missionaries, I would stop right there and I would ask them straight out, does your pastor ever praise God? Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. The way that a pastor and a missionary have the right relationship is through communication. Same thing applies to the church member. It happens through communication. Doesn't mean that you communicate all the time. I got a phone call today. A man in our church wanted to make an appointment to come talk to me. We worked that out, or we can try to get that done. And there has to be communication. Sometimes missionaries get to the field and they don't communicate. Then the pastor loses touch of what's going on that mission field and in that missionary's life. And then when the missionary gets in a bind and needs some, what do you think about this, Pastor? Well, I don't know. Catch me up on the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Right.
It's pretty hard to know what to tell somebody and there's been very little communication for an extended period of time.
Man.
If you don't believe that, try that in your marriage. Have no communication for 5 years and let me know how that works out.
Yeah, right.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not. So two things there. Do good. If you just do good, man, that'll get you way down the road. And to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Evidently, it is a sacrifice just to do good. You say, why is it a sacrifice to do good? Because there's so many times you want to be bad. But if you want to have the right communication with God and your brothers and sisters in Christ, you got to do good.
Yeah.
Isn't that simple?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob Jones Sr. always said, do right till the stars fall from the heavens. Do right.
Amen.
Verse 17 is really our text. Obey them that have the rule over you. And I'm putting this in a missionary's context, but it applies to all of us, including myself. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Submit yourselves. I wonder what that means. that means you might want to consider just doing what they say. Well, what do they tell you to do something you don't want to do? Well, let me ask you this. What do you do if God tells you to do something you don't want to do? I want you to go to Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, we just heard a testimony about a guy over there that just destroyed work. Yeah. And then we had another missionary in our mission conference going to Sri Lanka. And then we had another one there Sunday night. I didn't even introduce him to the church. We had another one there Sunday night going to, guess where?
Sri Lanka.
Wow. Daniel Bach.
Yeah.
That's Paul Bach's brother.
Yeah.
Paul married Victoria Dabbs Bach. Daniel married a pastor's daughter from Mississippi. Going to Sri Lanka? I don't know. If I was going to pick a place to go, it would not be Sri Lanka.
Right.
I remember I struggled one time just thinking about, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. And he clearly said, what about India? Actually, Lord, that would be close to the bottom of my list.
Sure.
But I told him, you know, you show me what you want me to do. I'm willing, and if it's something I don't want to do, I know you'll work out all the details and that'll be all right. Then I got to notice the street signs that had names that looked like they were from India.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Delhi Street. Well, I wasn't thinking about sandwiches. I was thinking about Delhi, India. Because this was on my mind. And I'd heard people give testimonies and things like that happening. I started sweating. But I stayed willing.
Man.
Yeah. Submit yourselves. Now, let me be fair and say, if you submit yourselves to some pastors, they will over-pastor you.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen, preacher.
Yeah.
They will be telling you what to do and what not to do about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, from what to eat.
Yeah.
Birth control.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Come on,
they'll
preacher.
Be telling you what to do about everything.
Yes, sir.
And if you disagree on one detail, you're in insubordination.
Amen.
You know what? God gave us a brain to figure things out. One man does not have enough time, nor does he have enough brain power to figure out all the details in 100 people's lives.
Yeah.
Right. If you'll submit yourself to God, many of those questions will be answered for you. God will lead you, and He will guide you, and He will direct you. And you won't have to have your pastor to make all your decisions for you. I try to pastor missionaries that way. If you were to talk to Brother Rick Weimer, Brother Buddy Duke, Brother Joshua Stokes, some of our guys that are on the mission field tonight, how many times has Brother Danny told you to do something or not to do something? I'm thinking it's not going to be very many. You know why? They've shown themselves to be spiritual men, and they love the Lord, and they have a heart for the field that God called them to. They know more about what's going on over there than I do. Now, if they call me and say, here's the situation, what do you think? I'll tell them what I think. But usually, I'm not saying, do this. I'm just saying, here's what I think. If I ever do tell a missionary, don't do that. It's so rare, I must really mean it. Example, I told a missionary that was in Spain. Go to Barcelona. He said, well, they speak a different language in Barcelona. I said, well, you learn Spanish. You can always learn another language. Well, they speak Spanish, but it's another dialect. I said, then you're already way down the road.
That's right.
Go to Barcelona. Mm-hmm. Why do you keep telling me to go to Barcelona? Because you're in the way where you are.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He was being a hindrance to Brother Josh Stokes. He said, well, I don't have the money to move. I said, you're going to have less money if you don't move now, because we're not sending you another dollar till I get a message from you in Barcelona. And for several months, I never sent him a dime. And then he sent an email to Brother Carl Wright and told him he was in Barcelona. He didn't even send me an email. So I waited another month or two before I started sending him money. Why? What is that?
Sure.
That's, you're not going to tell me what to do.
Amen, preacher.
Yep.
Even though, and I rarely tell a missionary anything like that, but in that case, he was being a hindrance to the work of God.
Amen.
And not a help in the work of God. And he needed to go away from where he was. Very seldom would I do a missionary like that. In fact, I think that is the only time I have ever done that in 45 years. But with stubborn people, you got to just lay it out. So if I ever just lay it out for you, now you know what you are. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. The missionary needs a pastor that he has confidence in his leadership and confidence in his walk with God. And confidence in his track record. That's why it's essential, young preachers, that you start getting it right when you're young. You are establishing a track record of either good decisions or bad decisions. Mm-hmm. And someday you're going to want people to have confidence in you. And in order for them to have confidence in your decision making, you need to have a track record of making decisions that worked out well. Not another oops.
You're right.
Your wife gets tired of oops. And if you ever pastor, your church members are going to get tired of oops. And if you ever go to the mission field, your pastor is going to get tired of oops.
Yes, sir.
Now that's why you need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Yeah. And not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Doing what you want to do And who cares about the consequences?
Yeah.
You've always got to consider the consequences. But it's magnified even more on the mission field. You make a bad decision on the mission field, and the people you're trying to win to Jesus Christ watch you make a bad decision. Now your job is about 100 times harder.
That's right.
I've been going to teen camps for 40 years. I'm the eternal teenager, I guess. And it is so sad for teenagers to get up at teen camp and talk about the hypocrisy in their home. My parents, they come to church and they act so spiritual and they look so spiritual and they pretend to be so spiritual. But this is the way it really is. And then they dump on you.
Yep.
Because they're frustrated. You got to make good decisions. Decisions that work out well for you, your family, others, your children, and the church that you're a part of. You got to make good decisions. A pastor, if he's going to lead missionaries, must know something about missions. Yes, yeah. That's why I had a burden to teach this. I go to churches and preach mission conferences to pastors who know absolutely nothing about missions. And their church has no missionaries out of their own church. So they don't know how to get money to them. They don't know how to get manpower to them if they need help with something. They just don't know. A missionary needs from his pastor leadership, that he can have confidence in his pastor's leadership, because he knows, the missionary knows, that his pastor is himself submitted to God. Therefore, it makes it easier to submit to the pastor. It's sort of like, you know, a lot of women have a hard time submitting to the man. You know what, guys? That'd be a lot simpler if you'd submit to God.
Amen.
Amen.
You think she's just full of the devil. But you're the one that's full of the devil. You won't submit to God. And then you expect her to submit to you. I wouldn't submit to you if you're full
right.
of the devil.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'd say, no, it's not a good idea. You're just full of the devil. And then I'd probably get beat. But I'd rather get beat than to submit to a guy that's full of the devil, who's ranting and raving at me to submit to him.
Right.
Yeah, amen.
I get so disgusted with these independent Baptists that rail on their wife about, I'm the head of this home. You're supposed to do what I say. You know who that is talking? The guy that's been making bad decisions.
Right.
Yep.
If he's been making good decisions, she'd willingly, lovingly submit to whatever it is that he's wanting to do.
Right.
But she's already seen him make so many bad decisions, she just thinks, here comes another bad decision. So deal me out this time. The pastor has to be submitted to God's leadership, even when that leadership takes him down a path that he's not comfortable with. Which is why a lot of old pastors don't ever retire. They have to die before you can get rid of them. Why? Who wants that check every week? Now they're too old to go get a job. And if they've been pastor for 50 years, they don't know how to do anything. Except get up and preach and teach. Okay, why is this getting quiet?
I'm telling you, right.
Y'all are not even pastors. You shouldn't be worried about
that. Amen, preacher.
Pastors should not over-pastor missionaries. Missionaries have already proven in the local church that they love God and they have a burden for the field that they've been called to, and they have a desire to get the gospel to the regions beyond. They've already manifested that. So you don't have to over-pastor people like that. You pray for them, you encourage them, you do what you can to help them, but you don't do everything they ask you to do, because if you do, they'll just keep asking for more and more and more and more and more. So as a pastor, you got to pray, Lord, do you want us to help them do this? Well, I'm willing. You want us to help them? And occasionally he'll say, no, I want them to struggle for a while. You say, I don't understand that. I don't always understand it either, but I'm telling you, sometimes God wants me to struggle for a while with things. He doesn't always solve all my problems. He doesn't always give me an easy path.
Amen.
He doesn't always send me money for what I think I need, even if it's for the Lord's work. He doesn't always do that. Why not? I need it. Because he's God and he knows more than we do.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Yeah, the illustration is, you know, the caterpillar in the cocoon. And the little child saw the struggle and was going to help this butterfly get out. So they ripped this cocoon all apart, and the butterfly just fell to the ground and never did learn to fly. The struggle is what strengthened the butterfly. The struggle is what makes you the Christian that you are. If somebody just makes things easy for you, you're going to crash and burn.
That's right.
So don't get bitter if the pastor doesn't do everything you want him to do. I've experienced that before. Missionaries just hate me to this day because I didn't go along with everything they wanted me to do. Pastor needs to be even keeled. What I mean by that is, maybe he doesn't get too high, he doesn't get too low, but he's just consistent over a long period of time. You don't want a pastor that gets over emotional every time he gets some kind of bad news from the mission field. But neither do you want a pastor that you give him what's going on in this terrible situation and it looks like it's a threat to the mission field. He just says, okay, yeah, we'll pray about that. God bless you. Talk to you later. Later. You don't want that either. You want a pastor who is compassionate. He enters into your decisions and problems with you, with his heart, not just his head. You need a pastor that has leadership, and you need a pastor that has a listening ear. You need to communicate. That was there in verse 16, to communicate. Forget not. Brother Walt Selman probably calls me more than any missionary that we have out of this church. I don't know if it's because he's closer, he's in Mexico City, or if he just wants me to know what's going on. I think it's because he wants me to know what's going on, so when he calls and needs some kind of direction, I've already kind of got the picture, which is pretty smart when you think about it. Mm-hmm. He called me this past week. Here's the situation. What do you think? We talked about it for probably an hour. Because it was an important situation. Will the pastor listen to you when you do need to talk? Now let me elaborate on that just a little bit. Can you talk and get to the point?
Oh, yeah.
Some people just want somebody to listen to them. Especially if it's their pastor. I pastored a guy at East River. He'd call me at least once a week, usually more than that, but at least once a week. After 3 hours, he would talk to me. I would literally lay the phone down and go read a book. Pick it up about every 10 minutes and say, lay it down, go back to reading my book. I already knew what he was going to say. You say, how did you know? He said it last week, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before. He said the same thing every week. I had it memorized. I didn't need to hear it again. You say, well, you weren't very compassionate. Oh, yes, I was. I listened to it many times before I started laying it down and reading the book. Many times. Brother Woods actually the one said, you gotta quit listening to that guy. So he won't quit calling. Hang up. I struggled with that. I could lay it down. That somehow to me that didn't seem quite as bad as just hanging up. Maybe it was, maybe it was even worse. I don't know. But you do need to have a pastor that has a listen, but you got to get to the point, get to the point, get to the point, get to the point. Here's the way you talk to someone who is busy, okay? You need to write this in your notes because you all need this, all right? Here's the way you talk to busy people. Give them the point first. Everybody wants to build this story. Give you all this background and all these details. And the person you're talking to is thinking, what is the point of all this? Give them the point first. Huh? Same thing's true in business. Brother Paul's got a lot of people that work for him. He does not want to stand there for 30 minutes and listen to a guy talk. And he knows something's wrong, there's a problem, but he still doesn't know after 30 minutes what the problem is. And the problem was, the bucket broke on the great old. But no, he's going through all these details. You know, we were doing this ditch, and you know, and I was dragging this stuff out, and I was loading it in the truck, and he goes on and on and on and on and on, and the whole time, well, Paul's wondering, where's this going? What is the point of this conversation?
Yeah.
And people do pastors that way. That happens. They'll come to me for marital counseling. And they're talking. But you know what the point is? I want a divorce.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to just blurt something like that out. That's the way you talk to busy people. Give them the point, and then they can ask you some questions and get the answers they need to deal with the problem instead of waiting for you to go around the world with all these frivolous details that he does not need to make a decision. The boss doesn't need all these details. When he finds out that the bucket is busted, he just wants somebody to weld it back together. And I don't need all these details. I've heard the details many times in my ministry. I already know most of the details. When you come in the office, I already know most of the details. Just give me the point. That way, instead of it taking 3 hours, we can do this in 10 minutes. And it's not because I don't care. You see, especially when they get older, if you don't get them tuned in the first 10 minutes, guess what? They're mentally zoned out. They're still looking at you, and they're still nodding their head. but they're gone. Any of you ladies relate to that, talking to your husband? I'm telling you, if you'd shorten the story, they would listen better. I think I got two nods out of that. And no amens. But you do need somebody that'll listen to your burdens, your vision, your problems. And if you'll listen to your pastor, he can eliminate a lot of your problems. Brother Wood had a saying, when somebody's going to be a missionary out of the Shady Acres Baptist Church, he would say, rule number one, if you're going to be a missionary out of the Shady Acres Baptist Church, stay away from all other American missionaries.
That's what he said.
Yeah. He's right. Why? Because you get two American missionaries close enough that they can go over and see each other, they're not going to be reaching souls with the gospel. They're going to be arguing about the gap theory or dispensational salvation or women's breeches or television or movies or the internet or whether you eat pork or not. How bad sugar is for you.
Right.
They're going to argue about all that stuff instead of getting the gospel to lost sinners.
Amen,
preacher. And they're going to get so heated about it because they hadn't had a good argument since they went to the mission field. So once they find somebody that they can understand their language, boy, are they going to have an argument. And then it'll happen again, and then it'll happen again, and then they'll break fellowship because missionary A never could convince missionary B the error of his ways.
That's good.
And then their wife is over there starving to death for fellowship.
Yeah.
And the only lady that she could have any fellowship with, now she's forbidden to have anything to do with her. Because this nut doesn't believe the gap theory.
You're right.
And his children watch DVD movies at home. Pretty much everybody's children do that now, okay?
Yes, sir.
Probably not DVDs anymore, but who needs DVDs? Who needs a stack of DVDs nowadays, huh? I got hundreds of them at my shop if you still like DVDs. Because I'm telling you, nobody is fine.
That's right.
You can have a pandemic and everybody can be quarantined and they won't buy them. They don't need them. You need a listening ear. And the critical part of this communication in verse 16 is, can you have your differences of opinion and still fellowship? Can you have a difference of opinion and still submit? That's the truth. You know, the true test of submission in the home is not if a lady submits when she wants to. The true test of submission is, will she submit to his leadership when she doesn't want to? That's where the rubber meets the road, right there. Well, I disagree with this. Well, this is what we're going to do. Pack your suitcase. We're going to Timbuktu. You prayed about this? Yes, I prayed about it. You don't think I prayed about it? Just go pack your suitcase. I'm the head of this home. Go pack your suitcase. Here we go.
Yeah, preacher.
Can you submit when there's a difference of opinion and you don't want to do it? That's why the leader's got to be careful, and the leader's got to make sure they're right. You know, it seems like ever since this coronavirus thing started, I have to pray about things that I never used to even have to pray about.
Right.
I pray about if we're going to have August camp meeting or not. And I pray about it for months. From March to July, I prayed about it. March, April, May, June. About 4 months, I prayed about it. We're going to have the August camp meeting. As soon as we had it, guess what? I'm praying about missions coming. Didn't get any light on it for a while. Just like I didn't get any light on the other decision for a while. It's not getting easier to make right decisions. It's getting harder to make right decisions.
Amen, preacher.
Amen, preacher.
I saw a video today of how bacteria and viruses are spread through speaking. Mm-hmm. They had this computer model that showed this stuff spewing out, you know, when somebody was just speaking. And by the way, some of y'all don't know this yet, but the older you get, the more you spew when you talk. You lose control of everything when you get old. So cheer up. It's going to get worse.
Hallelujah.
They had this computer thing where you could see the spray coming out just from somebody talking. And it drifts down to the floor. And then we all want to get radical about this. It's wearing masks. I don't know about these masks. I don't think we should be wearing these masks. These masks are going to kill us. It's not good for us. Yeah, you know what? At least you're not spitting on people when you talk.
That's true.
And then they showed somebody singing. It went out about 3 or 4 times further than when they were just talking. But you know, it's hard to sing with a mask on.
Right.
Amen right there?
Amen.
Right. It kind of muffles everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it on Sunday night when we had the whole choir up there.
Yeah.
All them young people up there. I'm thinking, if any one of them has got COVID, they're fixing to all have it.
It's true.
And this is before I watched this video that I'm talking about. Yep. When they're singing 3 or 4 times further out, when they sneeze, it goes from here to that table over there. Not 6 feet. More like 25 feet. Mm-hmm. If they cough or sneeze. Now, I think our country's probably, you know, overreacting to some of this stuff, but you know what? There's probably more to it than we want to believe.
You're right.
Because we have a bias from the get-go. We don't like masks.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to wear a mask. Well, enjoy everybody else's vapor. I see people talking and fellowshipping in our church, and they're this close together. Their faces are this close together. And I want to walk up there, but I know it's not going to work out well, but I want to walk up there and say, hey, you ever heard of social distancing? Because you would think, I mean, we're, 6 or 8 months into this whole pandemic thing, and we still got people shaking hands?
Amen.
Cuckoo. And they make fun of Brother Tom because he shakes hands like this. That's the way we shake hands. We shake hands like this. Our hands are shaking. We're shaking hands. And we're not spreading the virus. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not changing the way I do things. Yeah, I know. That's because you don't care about anybody but yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
That's right, preacher. That's right.
I'm talking about making decisions. I have refrained from just getting up and announcing no more handshaking. No more sneezing and coughing without a mask. You know what happened in my bookstore in Tomball? A guy came in there and he was right in front of our counter and he went and he pulled his mask down and I shoot. He said, "Sorry about that. I just didn't want to get my mask wet." That really happened. That's a true story. He sprayed our entire counter to keep him getting his mask wet.
Good grief.
I think that's the purpose of the mask. Maybe I missed something. Making decisions. Leadership has to be able to make good decisions. Reasonable decisions.
Yep.
So we got to have the missions conference. God give me some light. We had the missions conference. And immediately, I started praying about January camp meeting. I used to not have to pray about whether we're going to have those meetings or not. I prayed about, you know, maybe who to have come in or how to do it or how to do something. But I wasn't really praying very much about, Lord, do you want us to have this meeting? We just had it every year, same time, for 40 years.
Right.
Now I'm praying about every decision. We got a wedding coming up. I'm praying, well, can we do this? Can we do that? What about this? And I'm telling you, this stuff just changes from day to day and week to week, and it is so hard. I understand all the planning that goes into all that stuff. Been there many times. I get all that. But I'm just telling you, it's not an easy thing to lead a group of people when they have their heart set on things happening a certain way.
Yeah, preacher.
Communication and submission. A pastor has to give his flock and his missionaries liberty. Not a big set of rules. They gotta have some liberty. And a lot of people don't understand that a rule can apply to you and not apply to the person next to you. Well, you ought to treat everybody the same. No, you shouldn't. Let me tell you how stupid that thought is. Can I tell you how stupid that thought is? You got to treat everybody the same? Would you like to know just how stupid that is?
Yes. Yeah. Amen, preacher.
Then treat your 16-year-old exactly the same as you treat your 2-year-old. That'd be pretty stupid.
Right.
Give the 2-year-old the keys. Say, go take a ride. I'll see you later.
That's good.
Now, that'd be stupid, wouldn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Would be just as stupid to give somebody the liberty to do something that's going to destroy them.
Yeah.
Just because you let somebody else do it. I get that nearly every time I make a decision. Well, Pastor, in this situation you did this. Why did you do this in my situation? And I'm biting my tongue to keep from saying, because you're a 2-year-old. And they were a 30-year-old, spiritually. Well, I've been saved for 15 years. Yeah, but you're still a 2-year-old.
Right.
See, I don't tell people that. I don't think. But that's usually what I'm thinking. When people are giving you all those scenarios, you know what they're really saying? I don't trust your leadership. You're not fair. And their definition of fair is you let me do what I want to do.
Right.
Because you let somebody else do what they want to do, so you are obligated to let me do what I want to do. Otherwise, you are not fair. I'm telling you, if that's going to bother you, young men, don't ever pastor.
Amen, preacher.
Right.
And don't ever get mad.
Amen, preacher.
Right.
Amen.
Because somebody's going to throw that you're not fair thing in your face. And that's going to bother you. You're going to be bothered all the time. So you got to ask God to lead you. You got to make the decisions that God leads you to make. And you got to be willing to face the criticism of those who disagree with your decision and face that criticism graciously and not combatively. Because they don't even, a two-year-old doesn't even realize they're being combative. They're just trying to get their way. And most of the time when people come to discuss a decision that you've made that affects them in some way or their children in some way, they're just trying to get their way. They're not trying to understand the situation. Here's where you go wrong. You think this two-year-old's trying to understand the situation? No, they're just trying to get their way.
You're right.
Liberty is not a set of rules. Liberty is not a license to destroy yourself. Liberty is not a license to destroy your family. There's some things that if you take the liberty to do it because you don't see anything wrong with it, it will destroy your children and your family. Liberty is not a license to destroy. It's not a license to destroy your church. We have people that come to our church every Sunday that do things that they know we're against. But they have liberty. Mm-hmm. Even if the teenage girls are looking at this 30-year-old female dressed like a streetwalker.
Amen, preacher.
Yep.
And giving these teenage girls the idea that this is acceptable at the Shady Acres Baptist Church.
Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher.
Mm-hmm. Then if Brother Jack has to tell them you can't sing in the choir, you're not dressed appropriate.
Yeah.
Now you got a problem not only with the teenager, but with her mama.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen, preacher.
And all their friends.
Right.
Yep. You're right.
So that's why you got to get to where you can say, you can't sing with us in the choir until that skirt gets a little longer and a little higher up here. We'd be happy to have you, but you're just going to have to dress right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, preacher.
And then when they come at you with all this baloney that they're going to come at you with, you just smile and say, oh, okay, yeah, fine. But you still can't come sing in the choir until you dress right.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
You don't get to combat it back at them. You just listen to them. When they get through giving you all their reasons why you're not being fair, you're unreasonable, everybody else is doing it, whatever, they all say the same things. Just like little children. My friends all do this. You just listen, tell them, well, that may be so, but still not going to sing and use the choir until you dress better.
Right.
Amen.
Now, I know that can be a little subjective at times. I get that. I tell you what, a choir director with a tape measure measuring the skirts.
Right.
Right.
Amen, preacher.
Hmm?
Amen.
That's what they did when I went to Tennessee Temple.
Amen, Pastor.
Yep.
They'd have, there were some steps that went up to that auditorium at Tennessee Temple University in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And the staff would come out there with tape measures, and the girls would stand on there, and they'd be measuring from their knee to the skirt.
Oh, good Lord.
And I remember thinking, this is weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Right. You better believe it.
Amen, Pastor.
This is weird.
Right.
I mean, here they are. That's weird.
Right. Amen.
Can anybody besides me
say that's weird? Amen, preacher.
That's why it's got to be a little bit subjective. Well, my skirt just doesn't hurt. Well, that might be true, but you're not singing in the choir anymore until you dress better.
Yeah. Right. Amen, preacher.
You just keep telling the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Over and over and over. Yeah. Like the Democrats.
Yes,
sir. Telling the same thing over and over and over. Because you're obviously talking to some really dense people
who yes,
don't get it the first time. So you just keep saying it over and over.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Until they get it.
Amen.
They're not singing in the choir anymore until they dress right.
Okay, preacher. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Amen, preacher.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
You got to have liberty, but not liberty to destroy.
Right. Mm.
They can't hurt the choir. They can't hurt the church.
Right.
They can't hurt the testimony.
Yeah.
And don't be chewing out the leader for at least having the guts to have some kind of rules.
Right.
Because I'm telling you, in our church, if you don't have any rules whatsoever, they will push it. They will push the limit and then some.
Amen, preacher.
Yes, sir.
Amen, preacher.
I'm almost calling names now. I could call some names of young women that come to City Baptist Church, some of them occasionally, some of them regularly, and you all know who they are.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
I could call their names right now. And you'd say, yep, that's definitely over the line right there.
Yeah.
You're telling it right.
You're absolutely right, preacher.
You got to have liberty, but not liberty to destroy the church. And a missionary has to have liberty.
Yeah.
I don't even want them to tell me how they got to dress to ride a motorcycle to go to a remote village.
Right.
If you got to do something, just do what you got to do, okay? I get that.
Right.
But don't throw it in my face.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because now, you're about to force me to make a decision I don't want to make.
Men.
I don't hand out questionnaires to missionaries. I pray, ask God to lead me, and I'm sure I support guys. If I knew everything they was doing or not doing, I'd quit supporting them. But I was impressed at the time to help and support them and believe they would get the gospel to some people that we want to get the gospel to.
Yeah, sure.
You got to recognize that the missionary is also a man of God. Therefore, he has to have some liberty as a man of God to make decisions in the place where he is with the people that he's trying to reach.
Yeah.
He's got to have some liberty. I mean, you know, we all read stories about those men that were going to China way back when, China Inland Missions.
Yep.
And they all grew ponytails.
Yeah.
Because that's the way the Chinese were.
Mm-hmm.
I'd struggle with that. But they're our heroes. We've all read their books and praised them for doing such a great job. They just believe. Submit yourself to the culture that you're in, all things to all men, to reach them with the gospel.
Yep.
Amen.
You got to figure out where to draw that line.
Yeah.
I probably can't draw that line for you because I'm going to look at it through the glasses of American culture. And that's not going to work somewhere else. If the missionary is not a man of God, don't send him.
Yeah.
Man.
Don't recommend him to other pastors. You know what's really difficult? When a missionary goes out of your church, then your heart, you're thinking the whole time, if he wasn't a member of our church, I wouldn't take him on for support. And I have been there before. That's a tough deal. child or a growing pastor or a growing husband or a growing wife. These things take time. So fortunately, when it comes to the husband-wife situation, God lets them fall head over heels in love, and all of this stuff doesn't matter for the first 5 years. Okay, 5 months. Some period of time. But eventually, everybody gets kind of comfortable, and they start saying what they really think about things.
Yep.
So as a pastor, understand the missionary's got to grow. And missionary, you may have to understand, the pastor has to grow with this business of having missionaries. The more they grow, the more liberty you give them. Now I'm back to giving the two-year-old the keys. You don't give the keys to the car to a two-year-old. Well, they just like to play with keys. Well, what if they stick them in the ignition? You don't give a two-year-old everything they want, even if that's just a set of keys. You say, now you've lost me for sure. Look, do you want to give them your keys? 100%. Give them your keys. I'm putting my keys in my pocket. You know why I'm going to put my keys in my pocket? When I get ready to start the vehicle, I don't want to be looking for my keys.
Yes, sir.
It's me. You do it. Whatever works for you is fine with me. I'm not going to give them my keys. I'm not going to give them my cell phone for them to slobber all over. I won't even do that for my grandkids.
Man.
You want to do it? Help yourself. They're going to drop it, break the screen, and I'm going to be aggravated. But it keeps them quiet. You know what else will keep them quiet? Tell them to sit down and be quiet.
Yeah.
That's strange doctrine nowadays, isn't it? And expect them to do it.
Yeah.
Nobody does that anymore. You say, how do you know? Start you a school and you'll find out. You'll spend the whole first grade teaching them to sit in their desk. You don't learn anything. Except this is school and we sit at the desk. Because they've never been taught that at home. They've never had to sit in a chair or in a desk for an hour. You know why they never have done it? They don't want to.
Right.
And they don't have anybody in the house with enough character to teach them to do it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a hassle. The more they grow, the more liberty they give. I very seldom tell Preacher Dan, do this, don't do that. Yeah, you know why? I mean, he's probably grown more than I have spiritually. He probably needs to be telling me what to do and what not to do. The more they grow, the more liberty they get, and the more responsibility they have. Liberty and responsibility go together like accountability and responsibility. All right. Here's one other detail about submission that involves missionaries. Can you submit to a man on the mission field who has less education than you do? Can you go to Papua New Guinea and a guy's been in the jungle eating raw pig meat all his life, and he gets saved and God calls him to preach, and now he's the pastor of the church that you helped get started? Can you submit to him? That's real submission right there.
That's real submission.
Most Americans cannot do that because we are so full of pride, we are eat up with ourselves. And chances are, That guy in New Guinea knows more about the spiritual world than you do.
Amen.
He's been living in it. He'll know when a demon comes in way before you're going to know it. Because he's seen all this before.
Yeah, you're right.
We can have them sitting in the Shady Acres Baptist Church full of demons. People don't know. Do you know in the Bible people recognized it when people were full of the devil?
Right. Yeah.
They recognized it. Why don't people recognize it now? Because they don't really even believe in it. It's bipolar. It's a chemical imbalance. It's needing anger management. We have ways of explaining why these people are full of the devil. But in Papua New Guinea, they just know when somebody walks in, the devil just showed up.
Yeah.
You're
it's
right.
Real simple to them. But we got all this education to confuse things.
Yeah.
Father, bless the class.
Help these folks, Lord,
to understand
the importance of the role of relationship in missions as well as in their home. Father, bless the class to come. I pray in Jesus' name.